Hello, beauties. Welcome to my show, Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health. I'm your host, Kim Billick. I'm a women's empowerment and sexual health coach, Reiki master, yoga therapist, and occupational therapist. This podcast is going to be raw and juicy. And yes, we'll be talking about all things women's health uncensored. We'll be talking about periods, hormone health, sex, pleasure, pregnancies, all those things that may be going on down there that are making you feel uncomfortable. Anything that you may be feeling scared or ashamed to talk to your doctor about, your partner, your girlfriend, let's just consider this podcast real girl talk. Be sure to check me out on Instagram at @KimBillick_ or my website www.amala-living.com. Hello, beauties. Welcome back to Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health. So today I have an amazing guest. I was lucky to be on one of her podcasts. So it's great to connect again here with Dr. Kinley. She's a naturopathic doctor. And today we are going to speak into thyroid health and how it affects our female hormones and female health to, you know, be talk about overall health. So Dr. Kinley, if you'd like to even introduce yourself and say a little bit more of what you do and areas that you specifically work in.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here. So yeah, I'm a naturopathic doctor and I mostly treat women's health. I treat a lot of thyroid issues. I treat a lot of adrenal fatigue and I treat a lot of hormonal imbalances in women. So in looking in the thyroid realm, most often, especially in the last couple of years, I'll get women that, you know, come to me and they're like, I'm tired. My hair's falling out. I have no energy. I have no sex drive. My hair is thinning, my skin is dry, they may be constipated, they may have trouble losing weight. And if you have any of those symptoms that I just mentioned, it's probably best to get your thyroid checked. But oftentimes these women are coming to me and they're like, yeah, my thyroid was checked and it was quote unquote normal, or so their doctors told them. But oftentimes they're only getting one or maybe two hormones checked. And this typically the main hormone that's checked is called thyroid stimulating hormone or TSH. But it doesn't necessarily tell the whole picture. So just if you're starting to listen to this and you're someone who's been told your thyroid is normal, but you're having any of those symptoms, fatigue, weight gain, difficulty moving your bowels, hair loss, you can also have like that brain fog or difficulty with memory or low body temperature is another one, chronic infections, any of those symptoms that I just mentioned, probably better to go talk to a more holistic doctor or someone who's going to run a more thorough thyroid workup on you. I can get into the nitty gritties of that, of what to be tested, but that's a lot of what I treat, a lot of thyroid issues. And a lot of women, particularly after the pandemic, are having a lot of these symptoms. And sometimes it is thyroid. Sometimes it's a combo of thyroid and adrenals. Sometimes it's just adrenals. Sometimes it's something completely different, but it's definitely good to make sure you've been fully worked up for a full thyroid workup if you have, like I said, any of those symptoms that I mentioned.
Yeah. So I do want to know like what other testing to do, but yep. I just picked up that you said you're seeing a lot more of this since the pandemic. And why do you think it's this is happening?
I think it's because, like I said, oftentimes just your thyroid being low or under functioning can cause those symptoms, but similar symptoms can occur when you've been under prolonged levels of stress. So if your stress levels have been high for, you know, since March of 2020, which we're going on 2 years, you know, that can start to put you in a little bit of an adrenal fatigue state. It can also put stress on the thyroid hormone, like on your actual thyroid itself. So some of these women that I'm seeing are actually, I'm seeing kind of like the fallout that's happened in their system and it's happened in their thyroid. So I think the stress has started to take effect in their body in the thyroid hormone of cascade of hormones. So yeah. So, and if you're working with a doctor or you're thinking, wow, this is me, I really feel like I need to get some different levels checked and really make sure this isn't a thyroid issue or find out if it is. So thyroid stimulating hormone, you definitely need to have that checked. And just for your reference, the standard reference range is 0.45 to 4.5, but the optimal number for most women is around 1. So even if your TSH might be 3.2 or it might be 2.5, which is quote unquote normal, that's actually higher than it should be. And the way that this hormone works is that's a hormone that your brain makes. It's called thyroid stimulating hormone that tells your thyroid to make T4, which is the inactive form of thyroid. This is something you also need to get checked. T4 will then pump out through the body and it has to get converted into T3. T3 is your active form of thyroid. That's what's actually going and binding into all of the different cells and is turning on your metabolism. It's allowing you to have bowel movements. It's increasing your basal metabolic rate so you can lose weight easily. It's going to, you know, affect your hair. It's going to affect your skin. It's going to affect all of the different things that, so when that T3 binds to its receptor into the cells, that's when your thyroid hormone does its job. So you want to have TSH checked, T4 checked, or excuse me, free T4, free T3. And then there's another test that I like to test. It's called T3 uptake. And that tells us how much of your T3 is actually binding to its receptors on the cells, getting inside the cells. So there's a lot of different places where you can have things go wrong. And so that's just kind of your basic thyroid panel. You also need to make sure you get your thyroid antibodies checked. So this is, some people don't actually have a thyroid issue. They have an immune issue where the body is attacking the thyroid. So an autoimmune issue. So it's really important to have that checked because that's actually the number one cause of hypothyroidism in women. It's called Hashimoto's disease. So if you haven't had that ruled out, you know, you can have perfectly normal looking thyroid numbers. So your T3, your T4, and your TSH could all look totally normal. But if you have thyroid antibodies, it could start to give you some of the symptoms of hypothyroidism. And then the last test that I like to check is something called reverse T3, which is when the body will sometimes misconvert from T4 to T3. It will convert into another form of T3 called reverse T3. It's basically the mirror image of T3. And if the body's converting too much T4 to reverse T3, reverse T3 is kind of like a left hand, whereas all your regular T3 is like a right hand, and all the receptors for your T3 are a right-handed glove. So if you think about trying to put a left hand into a right-handed glove, it's going to fit, but it's not going to be a good fit. Right. And so that reverse T3 will bind to your T3 receptors and will compete out, and it doesn't actually activate. It doesn't turn on the thyroid process. So that's a good number to have checked too. And that's often, if your reverse T3 is really, really high, that tells me that your system is extremely stressed and that's how like stress has affected your thyroid in that case. So there's a lot of little nuances that, you know, a functional medicine doctor or a naturopathic doctor can read based on, you know, if you get a little bit more information about the thyroid, they can get a little bit more information on how to treat you and how to, you know, make sure that you're feeling better.
Yeah. And so I hear you've mentioned a couple times how like stress really impacts it, or, and say the adrenals. And I get this question asked quite often, like, should I get cortisol tested? Like, is there a connection with the thyroid, a big connection with the thyroid and the adrenals? That you see them?
Oh, totally. Yeah, they're very well. They're all connected. I like to think of if you were to put your thumbs together and put your index fingers together and make like a little triangle with your hand, I like to think that your endocrine system is basically, there's three major points on this triangle. You've got your sex hormones, which are estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, kind of those hormones. And then you have your adrenal hormones, which are mostly main hormones, cortisol. And then you have your thyroid hormones. So they're all in this very delicate balance. And when they're all in balance, your 3D triangle is, you know, properly, it's stable. It's not moving around. If one of those, let's say that your cortisol goes super, super high for a long period of time, typically you're going to have a dip in either or both your sex hormones and your thyroid hormone are going to go down. So, and same thing, if your cortisol levels go down for some reason, sometimes thyroid can go overactive or sex. So they're all in this intricate, delicate balance. So they're definitely connected. High levels of cortisol, like I said, it can increase the body's production of that reverse T3. It can also downregulate the ability of the T3 to bind to its receptors. So stress typically interrupts the body's production of the different proteins that make receptors. And the whole, at a microcosmic level, the body doesn't work unless things can bind to their receptor site on a cell. So if the cells aren't making their receptors or the proteins that build those receptors, nothing can really happen in the body. And this is part of why when we get super stressed, that stuff just starts to fall apart, is because the body doesn't make the appropriate receptor, and then said thing can't bind to its receptor, and then cellular processes can't happen, which on a macro level will start to turn into symptoms. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, totally. And with that, I'm hearing like, then inflammation starts coming in too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, in thyroid hormone, and so here's where the thyroid and adrenals are, they have similar actions. So thyroid hormone, one of its jobs is to downregulate inflammation. Same thing with cortisol, which, you know, we think of as our stress hormone, but it's also cortisol has a really anti-inflammatory job in the body. It's kind of like our body's natural steroid. So cortisol and thyroid hormone, part of what they do is they'll bind to the nucleus of a cell and they stop the production of inflammatory cytokines, which, you know, keep inflammation going. So if your thyroid hormone is low, you can start to get inflammatory processes in the body. A really common thing, if your thyroid's off, or getting chronic hives or allergies or rashes on your face or in the chest, that can be an indication that there's some sort of dysregulation of inflammation and the thyroid isn't doing its job. So this is a pretty common presentation where I'll get someone to come in and they're like, yeah, I just started getting these hives out of nowhere. And they may seem to be stress related, but oftentimes it can indicate an underlying thyroid issue. But similarly, not enough cortisol or not enough stress hormone, because again, it, you know, we think of like, oh, too much cortisol, but you actually need to have the appropriate amount of cortisol. Too much or too little can cause problems. So same thing, you can start to have inflammatory processes with either too much cortisol or too little cortisol.
It's all about finding that nice balance, right?
Yes, it's totally all about finding the nice balance. That is exactly right. Exactly right.
Thank you for sharing so much of that information. So the common thing with when it comes to an imbalanced thyroid is generally hypothyroidism. And you went over a lot of the symptoms that you see or that women should be aware of. And as a naturopathic doctor, how would you address this?
Address the hypothyroidism?
Yeah, in a way, yeah, for to heal it or to get you more back, yeah, into balance.
So it depends on what's going on. So again, like if I'm looking at someone and if they have a really textbook hypothyroidism, which would typically would mean an increased thyroid stimulating hormone. So basically what happens, I didn't continue talking about this, is when there's enough T3 and T4 circulating around in the body, there's a feedback loop that goes to the brain. It says, hey brain, we have enough TSH, don't make any more. So that's where when our TSH is around one, that's just enough to keep the appropriate amount of T3 and T4 circulating around the body. If our T3 and T4 levels go down, there's a feedback loop that goes to the brain. It says, hey brain, we need more thyroid hormone. Please increase the stimulating hormone. So then the TSH will go up, which typically high TSH and low T3 and T4, that's like a textbook hypothyroidism. And in that case, depending on what the levels are, oftentimes most naturopathic doctors will recommend that some form of thyroid hormone is taken until we, you know, determine what the underlying cause of that is. You know, if there's an autoimmune component, so if the body's been attacking the thyroid, then we would put someone on an anti-inflammatory autoimmune protocol. If there's simply, you know, let's say it runs in the family history, or there simply is like a disconnect where the body is not making enough thyroid hormone, oftentimes while we're trying to figure it out, I will put someone on a baby dose of thyroid hormone. So that's one way. And thyroid hormone, there's a couple different options medication-wise. There's Synthroid, which is, or levothyroxine, which is synthetic T4. So the body will intake that and then it still has to convert it to T3. A more natural way to do that, and it's medication, but it's more natural, is taking bovine, or they call glandular thyroid. So it's taking cow, it's basically like eating liver, but you eat cow thyroid hormone and you get a little bit of T4 and T3. And this will kind of raise the levels a little bit in the body, which will lower the TSH and will give the body kind of what it needs. Sometimes in some cases, if the thyroid's just been stressed, you know, and it's like not functioning properly, just like, you know, if your system's been stressed and you eat a little bit of liver, it kind of boosts your liver function. Taking a little bit of thyroid hormone for, you know, 6 months to a year can kind of help the thyroid function a little bit better. And while we will do other things, you know, like I said, clean up diet, you know, do all other naturopathic things. And oftentimes, you know, you may not have to take that for the rest of your life. If there are issues with T4, T3 conversion, either the body's making too much reverse T3, or there's an issue with the uptake of the T3, that, you know, we would obviously be looking for why that is, but often that could be high levels of stress, that could be low levels of iodine, low levels of selenium. So it would be supplementing with the appropriate nutrient that they may be lacking. So supplementing with the appropriate nutrient that they may be lower in, and then reducing stress. So doing whatever we can to reduce those stress levels, because that, you know, as I said, can often be the major trigger. So if we're not addressing that, sometimes it can be hard for us to heal the thyroid or anything for that matter.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned diet, and I know I always say bioindividuality, like everybody needs certain foods, you know, with their healing process, but is there any specific things that you recommend eliminating, like gluten or something, or foods that you should add in?
I mean, it is very case dependent. Most cases, particularly if there's an autoimmune component, also if there's a Hashimoto's thing at play, gluten tends to be a big thyroid no-no. Any of the inflammatory foods, if there's autoimmune stuff, we're going to be working on that. But I tend to look towards blood type stuff with this. So if you're blood type O, I would say, you know, diet-wise, you really want to focus on a more paleo. So low grains, low dairy, really lean protein and veggies. If you're blood type A, you kind of want to focus more being a vegetarian, maybe a little bit low dairy, but fish, veggies, rice, like stick toward that. Blood type B is for thyroid. Gluten and chicken are like the two no-nos for them for thyroid stuff, and corn. So I usually will pull them off of those. And ABs is, they're kind of a mix. So ABs are, they're a smaller percentage of the population. But so yeah, there's those things. And diet, I almost will look at diet, you know, when we're doing working with any sort of hormonal issue, making sure that people are eating enough and their blood sugar is balanced. Cause I see this a lot in women that are really stressed out. And if stress has impacted their thyroid, they may not be eating and having enough calorie intake or eating enough blood sugar throughout the day. So their blood sugars can drop, which can then stress the system out even more. Cause if your sugars get really low, that activates your fight flight response. So that'll turn on your stress system, which then will lower the thyroid. So keeping blood sugar regulated is really, really important for healing any sort of hormonal issue. So again, that's just making sure you don't have blood sugar dips and don't have blood sugar high. So, and for most people, that's eating every 3 to 4 hours and eating an adequate amount of protein to make sure that blood sugar doesn't dip. So that's usually the blanket advice I give for, you know, any sort of hormonal issue is make sure that we're keeping blood sugar balanced, because you usually can't fix or realign hormone stuff if your blood sugar's out of whack.
Yeah, I see that a lot in my clients as well. And another thing that I like to add just with the blood sugar thing is protein's huge. And then I usually tell my clients having some healthy fats with it and fibers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all really great. And this, you know, again, the diet stuff is hard to give blanket advice because, you know, I may have someone that comes in and they're like, you know, I've got this issue, but I've got 15 food allergies. And so we kind of have to work around this. So if you're listening, you know, this is blanket advice. This may not apply directly to your case. If you've got, you know, if you have any other health issues, it may not, you know, this may not be necessarily the best advice for everybody.
Yeah.
It's always hard to give the blanket diet advice because it's so individualized.
Yeah. And that's why it is important if you are listening and you have these symptoms and you've gone to your doctor and you're just being not really given an answer, it's important to, you know, see a naturopathic doctor who will go into more detail specifically to you, or a coach that specializes in this stuff, or even a dietitian, but someone that could actually help and guide you through this and help you tune into your body to see how you're reacting. Cause, you know, we could give a recommendation, but it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
And until we could really tap into it, some people aren't even aware that that it's irritating them.
Yeah.
They're eating.
Yeah, it's very true.
So that's just something I like to add in there. In regards, like we've talked about Hashimoto's a bit, I know thyroid is a big thing with PCOS. Do you see a lot of...
Yes and no. They can definitely be correlated. I don't know what your PCOS population is. PCOS is a very like large junk box diagnosis. And a lot of people that have unexplained hormone imbalances will be given a diagnosis of PCOS. True textbook PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome, is when testosterone is elevated, all of like the androgenic hormones are elevated. Typically there's an absence of the period, there may be hair growth, and typically there is insulin resistance or diabetes going on. So thyroid can often be off in that case, but there's not a... So what I was going to say is I get a lot of patients that come in and they've been diagnosed with PCOS. They typically don't have any blood sugar issues. Their hormones are out of balance. They may have skipped a period or two. Maybe they have some hair growth, but mostly their issue is infertility. Often in those cases, they don't really have PCOS, they have a thyroid imbalance. And when we fix their thyroid, their other hormones fall into line and the PCOS thing kind of goes away. So there's kind of, and I don't know what your population that you're working with, but usually a lot of people have been misdiagnosed with PCOS and they actually have an underlying thyroid issue. Like I said, and I find when we address their thyroid, their periods come back, or their periods will regulate, or they will suddenly, you know, be able to get pregnant and carry a pregnancy. So, and I think it's because they kind of have widened the
they give people that diagnosis. Yes, when it really, it's, I can't tell you how many times like people come in and they're like, oh yeah, I have PCOS. And I'm like, no, you really don't actually have PCOS. You were just still like I said, true textbook PCOS. Typically, you know, there's going to be a diabetes type picture. You know, someone will typically be overweight. They probably haven't had a period in, you know, years, facial hair. All, like I said, the testosterone levels are going to be elevated. Stress levels may be elevated. And again, thyroid may or may not be off, but it's not necessarily a part of like that true textbook PCOS. Like I said, a lot of GYNs will give that diagnosis when they're like, yeah, we don't really know what's going on. Your hormones just aren't right. So we're going to give you that diagnosis. And here's the birth control pill to solve your problems. And which, you know, we'll put a Band-Aid on it and that person will get a regular period, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, if they're trying to get pregnant, going on the birth control pill isn't going to fix that, you know? So I guess point being is that they're not necessarily linked one way or the other, like in a textbook disease pathology sense. But if you have been given the diagnosis of PCOS and haven't had a full thyroid workup, make sure to have that done. And maybe, you know, if you've been given that diagnosis, maybe talk through your practitioner about it, because I typically find that it's been misdiagnosed a lot of times.
Yeah. You know what? I'm so happy I asked this question and that you're bringing this up. I usually see the women because they're trying to get their periods, because that's kind of where I started. My journey started as a health coach, like the amenorrhea and the missing periods. That's kind of where I see them from, but I know they kind of, you see like the categories of types of PCOS. So there's the inflammatory, the insulin resistant, thyroid is one of them. So that's why I brought up the question. And, yeah,
I think that's good that I think that thyroid category, I don't think they actually have PCOS. I think they actually just have hypothyroidism. And when you fix that, like I said, when it's corrected, the PCOS quote unquote symptoms will go away.
Mm-hmm. So in regards to a missing period, how exactly does the thyroid impact that?
So it's going to direct. So thyroid has a huge impact on your sex hormones. Like I said, if we go back to that triangle, you know, the thyroid, the sex hormones and the adrenals, if your thyroid is really low or if it's really high, so either way. So if you're missing a period and your thyroid has not been checked, probably the first thing that a doctor should check. I mean, obviously they need to check your other hormones, but making sure that you don't have Hashimoto's, making sure that your TSH is in that, you know, appropriate window and you have enough T3 and T4. When thyroid hormone is too low, sometimes that can stop you from getting a period. Sometimes that can make your periods really, really heavy and really bad PMS. It just kind of depends on what else is happening. Again, there's your endocrine system. Again, it's like that triangle that I explained. So stress, thyroid, sex hormones are all in this delta. So if any one of those is off, it's going to affect the other two. If two of those are off, let's say that thyroid is low for whatever reason, and your stress is really high, that can cause, you know, that's going to majorly affect the period, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing, when I draw this in my office, I'll draw this triangle, and in the center of the triangle, I always write the word blood sugar, because the thing that is keeping this triangle fully in balance is making sure that your blood sugar is stable. And again, that you don't have issues with insulin resistance. So we talked about, you know, diet, making sure you're eating regular meals. One of the other things to look at is making sure that sugar can get inside your cells. When we become insulin resistant, means that insulin can't bind to its receptor in the cells, which means glucose can't bind to its receptor and get inside the cell. And when that happens, glucose goes crazy in the arteries and, you know, in the bloodstream, but there's no glucose inside the cell. And without glucose, we can't make energy. The cells can't do their job. And when there's too much glucose in the bloodstream, that creates inflammation like crazy. So then we're in this really bad inflammatory state where the cells aren't doing their job. So it's not a great state to be in. Some of the things that increase insulin sensitivity, so making sure that you can get glucose into the cells, are walking after meals. Fish oil is a really good one, and just exercise in general. But I think what's really interesting for women is that in the morning, we tend to be very insulin sensitive, meaning that if you're going to have carbs, if you're going to have sugar, the best time to do that is in the morning. As we go throughout the day, we tend to become more resistant. So in the evening, it's harder for our bodies to uptake glucose. So I've had this conversation a lot with patients who've been doing intermittent fasting, and they're like, God, I've been doing fasting for so long and it's just not working. And I've kind of chatted with them. A lot of them are kind of 35 to 45 year old females, and they're like, my weight's not moving. And I'm kind of looking at their thyroid. I'm like, yeah, your thyroid doesn't look great. Fasting can be a beautiful thing to do because it gives the digestive system a break, and it can be good for stabilizing blood sugar. But you know, if you're, let's say your last meal is at 7 and you're not eating until 2 p.m. the next day or something along those lines, you're actually missing out on your most insulin sensitive time. So it's actually better for you to eat earlier in the morning and stop eating around 3 or 4 p.m. and doing a fast, like to skip dinner essentially, and have that be a way. So instead of that, you know, skipping breakfast thing, breakfast really is important. Like, it's really important. And it has to do with how this comes into play with our circadian rhythm. So again, we tend to be, when there's more cortisol in our system, which is in the morning, we tend to be more insulin sensitive in those states. So, so it is a kind of a, I know this is maybe a little bit off topic, but for people with, you know, like I said, the blood sugar is really important for stabilizing all of this stuff. So doing like skipping dinner and kind of doing a little bit of a fast and eating, you know, breakfast tends to be a better way to do that.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that. I think it's important to share because blood sugar, as you even, you know, explain in your triangle, is so important with our hormone health. So, and it's all incorporated. Another thing is hormone disruptors. I feel like that's like a big thing that's kind of you hear about now. Maybe 5-10 years ago, we didn't hear about it as much, but like I say to my clients, I'm like, we need to think about not only what we're eating, but what are we putting on our bodies? You know, our body's absorbing all these lotions and I don't even soaps and products and perfumes and all these things, and it could impact us. What are your thoughts on that? And what do you kind of
Definitely, you know, anything that goes on your body, that's getting into your bloodstream in about 15 seconds. So it's actually getting into your bloodstream faster than if you eat it. So whatever you put on your body, you should feel comfortable. Like I say to my patients, don't put anything on your body that you wouldn't ingest. If you wouldn't ingest it, don't put it on your body. Cause it's getting right into your bloodstream. And as you said, a lot of fragrances, a lot of anything that contains a fragrance is going to have a hormone disruptor. So that's, whether that's body lotion, whether that's shampoo, you know, anything that has, that's, an essential oil is going to be different, but like a man-made fragrance, that's going to be a hormone disruptor. So that can affect thyroid, that can affect your sex hormones. It can affect the receptors. Then there's a lot of other chemicals in, you know, a lot of the products that we use that will act like estrogen. So they can increase our estrogen levels, and that will disrupt hormone flows. But yeah, I really like the website, the Environmental Working Group, the EWG.org, you can go and type in the name of the product that you're using and it'll give it a score from A to D, I think. So if it gives it an A, that means that product's pretty good. You can use it. If it gets a D, you might not want to be putting that on your system. Less is more if you've got any sort of endocrine issue. So thyroid, sex hormone, adrenal stuff going on. You don't want to be putting too much stuff on your body in terms of beauty products, unless you know it's something that's really safe.
That's great. And thank you for sharing that website. I will put it in the show notes so the listeners could go check that out. Yeah. Is there any last tips or advice or information that you want to share? You've covered so much.
Yeah, we've covered so much. I think you said this earlier, like, you know, if you're listening and you're struggling with one area, either the thyroid stuff or maybe the sex hormone or adrenal stuff, make sure you're working with someone that is knowledgeable about what to test and how to steer you in the right direction. I think that's on my podcast. That's the number one thing I try to hammer on every episode. I'm like, make sure you have somebody who's kind of who has your back and who, like, you know, they're thinking, you know, two steps ahead of like, okay, we want to be thinking about this. We're thinking about that. Cause sometimes it can get really overwhelming trying to figuring this stuff out on your own. So it's good to have somebody kind of helping you along with the process.
Yeah. And you go to Google and you see 5,000 different things and then you're even more overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I think with having someone support you too, it's like to hold you accountable. I mean, I've had so many coaches in different ways and it's just great, like you say, to have someone have your back that's thinking ahead of you. And that's also going to check in and be like, well, are you actually doing this? And not in a way to judge you, but just to serve you in your best interest.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be my tip, is just make sure you've got somebody that's helping you along your journey.
That's awesome. Where could my listeners find you if they want to reach out and get
So I hang out on Instagram a lot. I'm at Dr. Kinney. If you want to go there, that links out to all my stuff. My website is draerinkinney.com. If you're interested in learning to work with me or what it looks like, you can schedule a free consult by calling my office. And
Okay, great. And there too, I'll put everything into the show notes below, so it's okay. Easy for them to find you. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining me on my show today. And ladies, I will see you next week.